I will in no wise cast out. I forgot to turn the tape recorder on, so that much of it hadn't got recorded yet. I told you there'd be something happen today. I just, you know. All right, the Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, in view of that, and the fact the scriptures I just told you, that all the scriptures that imply that God wants to save everybody, Christ died for sinners, and Christ tasted death for every man, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and not his will, any should perish. In view of all that, there's still some people that God can't save. And I want to give you this morning 7 classes of people that God can't save. Number one is, God can't save a self-righteous man. Amen? Self-righteous is the most wicked sin that a man can have because it covers sin. A man that's right in his own eyes and thinks he's right about everything and sees everything wrong except himself, he'll never admit that he's a hell-bound sinner. Now, let me give you a biblical example of what I just said. Take your Bible and turn back to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And let's read about a self-righteous man. In Luke chapter 18, verse 9, the Bible says, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. You see? A self-righteous man trusts himself. And they were righteous and despised other. A self-righteous man, he trusts himself and thinks he's right, and he despises anybody else that don't agree with him. You see it? I mean, this man here, you read his prayer, you read the characteristics of his life, and look what it says. It says, 2 men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a public. One of them was a church member. He was a Pharisee. That was the religious crowd that stood against Jesus when he was on this earth. And the Bible said the Pharisee, that's the self-righteous man, he stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as others. See? He thanked God he wasn't like other people. He was so much better than everybody else. He's self-righteous. And he said this. He said, I fast twice a week. I'm not like other men are. Other men are extortioners. Other men are unjust. They are adulterers. Even this fellow beside me here. But I ain't like that. Self-righteous. See? I mean, let me show you something about this man. As far as his outward life, he was beyond reproach. He wasn't unjust. He was an honest man. He wasn't classed with thieves. He didn't steal. He was law-abiding. He wasn't a criminal. He was a good citizen. He wasn't a bad citizen. He had great virtue. He kept his marriage vows. He had a zeal for religion. He was religious. He went to church. He even tithed. Huh? He gave his tithe. There wasn't but one thing wrong with this man. Just one thing. The one thing that sent him to hell. Confession, do your best you can. You can go through all that and die and go to hell. God can't save a man that rejects Jesus Christ. And evidence of a man rejecting Jesus Christ is evidence he rejects the Bible. Because look what it says in verse 39, search the scriptures. Did you ever search the scriptures? It says, for in them you think you have eternal life. And what did the scripture do? The Bible said, see that? Now, illustration, look up at verse 35. The same book, John 9:35, the Bible says he was a burning and shining light, and you are willing for a season to rejoice in his light. All right, the scriptures reveal light. number 2. Look there in verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. You see, the scriptures bear witness from God. And then look again there at verse 37. John 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath bore witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. The scriptures is a voice from God. You see that? So if you want several things, if you want the truth of God, if you want the light of God, the witness of God, the voice of God, and you will know the word of God, then search the scriptures. See? Jesus said, the scriptures are they which testify of me. So a man that rejects Jesus Christ won't search the scriptures. A man that rejects Jesus Christ will despise the scriptures. And evidence of a man despising the scriptures is evidence of a man that rejects Jesus Christ. And God can't save a man that rejects Jesus Christ as his Savior. There's another class that God can't save, and I suppose more people are going to hell in this class than any that I'm going to say this morning or any I've said thus far. And that is a hypocrite. That's an old word. You know what it is. A hypocrite is a pretender. It's a word that's also used as an actor. But what it amounts to, it's what a hypocrite is today. It's somebody that has inconsistent living. For instance, I get up Sunday morning and saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Monday, it's, oh, how I love sin. You see it? This kind never gets saved. Now, the reason I know that, let me show you what Jesus said about this crowd. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23, the whole chapter is about church people, hypocrites. Now, I'm, you know, like I said, you know, this is not what I think, this is not what the Baptists believe, this is what the Bible said, and that's what I'm interested in. Now, if you look at Matthew 23, look at verse 33, let me show you what Jesus said about this crowd. Matthew 23, verse 33, Jesus said, you serpent, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Huh? Jesus had a message for that crowd. Lost hypocrites that were church members on the way to hell. And Jesus didn't call them, now you nice, lovable, sweet-looking people. He didn't use that term at all. He used the lowest term you can use to call anybody. He said, you bunch of snake in the grass. See? He says, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? And in this chapter, 7 times he called them hypocrites. He called them hypocrite in verse 13, verse 14, verse 15, verse 23, verse 25, and verse 27. Now the Bible likens some people to animals. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, the Bible calls a lost woman like a hog. It calls a lost man like a dog. I've never called no woman a hog or a man a dog, but the Bible does. Amen. Now Jesus said this bunch of hypocrites were like a bunch of snakes. You listen? Which means that church people that are hypocrites are sneaky and slimy and slivery, poisonous, treacherous, camouflaged reptiles. Amen? Did you ever call anybody that? I never have. But Jesus did. And according to what Jesus said, a hypocrite's not going to get saved. Because he said your whole life is based on the fact that you're lost and going to hell, and all you're doing is trying to lead as many people as you can with you to go to hell the same way. And you're reading that same book, Matthew 23, verse 14, you won't find that in the rest of the Bible. You know why? It's too much against what they believe, their religion, which shows all Bibles but the King James are Catholic Bibles. Huh? So God can't save a hypocrite, a pretender. Then there's another class that God can't save, and that is an apostate. Now, what is an apostate? I think you find it real clear over there in Romans chapter 1. But I think 1 Peter gave the best definition of it. If you turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll show you what he said about it. 1 Peter chapter 2. And look what Peter said. Now, an apostate is somebody that knows they've heard it and they reject it or they refuse to accept it. In other words, it's like if somebody comes and gives you the right way. And if you were to go to some unsaved church member and explain to him what the Bible says about him and the condition he's in and explain to him what Jesus Christ did for him, that God wants to save him, God can save him, God will save him, and he turns it down, he just walks away and rejects it, then he's an apostate. Now let's look at what Peter said. 2 Peter chapter 2, and I'm in 1 Peter, let me get the right one. 2 Peter chapter 2, and look with me in verse 19. 2 Peter 2, 19. The Bible says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. Now look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. Now, look at verse 21. Now, here's what Peter says about it. He said, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. You see it? Verse 21 don't say they never knew Christ, but they knew the way to Christ. You see it? They knew the way to Christ, and they rejected it. And Peter said it would have been better if they would have never known, never heard it, than to have heard it and known it and turned away from it. Because the results of that is given in verse 22. See? He said, but it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. Here's what it is. The dog is turned to his own vomit again. That's what I told you a while ago. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Peter says that somebody that hears the way to Christ, they know the way to Christ, and they deny it and reject it. He said the lifestyle, they're going to go back like a hog goes to a mud hole and the dog goes back to living like a dog. Huh? I'll give you an example. I'll give you a practical example right here in Moorhaven, in this town. A man that pastored the First Baptist Church was a fornicator. He was a dog. Amen. Now, had they run him out of the church, now he's pastoring a bunch of hogs. Because ain't nobody going to follow a man like that unless they live or plan on living that same kind of lifestyle. Have you seen? You can tell him I said so. Matter of fact, if you want to, I'll give you one of these tapes. God can't save an apostate. I'm going to tell you another class that God can't save this morning. And God can't save a man that won't believe. Amen. Now folks, listen. This morning, every person could and would be saved if he'd believe on Jesus Christ. A man that rejects Jesus Christ, or a man that won't believe on Jesus Christ, won't repent of his sin. Amen? Now listen to me. Unbelief is nothing but the pure work of the devil. That's all it is. That's all. Now somebody say, well, you know, you go to hell for cussing, you go to hell for drinking, you go to hell for doing a... No, you don't go to hell for nothing. You go to hell because you refuse to believe on Jesus. Amen? Unbelief is willful ignorance and willful rejection of Jesus Christ. Amen? In Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, the fool said in his heart, there's no God. He didn't say it with his head. There's fools this morning sitting in churches all this town, all this country. In their heart. Now, they said they live their life, they plan their life without God. That's one of the Bible definitions of a fool. Besides the fact that a fool despises wisdom and instruction, you can't tell a fool nothing. You can't correct him in nothing. You can't explain nothing to him. You know why? Because he's a fool. Amen? Unbelief, folks, is a condition of the heart. You can be educated and be an unbeliever. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, I think it is, the Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things. Huh? It says the heart is deceitful above all things. You know the most deceitful thing in this world? Huh? The human heart. Your heart will tell you that Bible's wrong. Don't listen to that preacher. He just up there trying to make a big show. See? Your heart's deceitful. Now, is your heart deceitful, the Bible says, and desperately, what? Wicked. So that's why so many people are so wicked. They're deceived. Deceived people live wicked lives. And the thing that deceives people, the thing that deceives most people, is their own heart. And you know why they're deceived? Because they refuse to believe on Jesus. Amen? Because the sin of unbelief is as trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. And listen, folks, that will put you in the lake of fire forever. Now let me give you something on that. Take your Bible, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Take your Bible and turn to the same book, John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And look at verse 9, John 16, verse 9. Now listen to what Jesus said. He said, of sin because they believe not on me. Sin is the damnation of every sinner. You listen now. Jesus said when the Comforter, he said the Comforter is the Holy Ghost. He said when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll reprove the world of sin. Why? Because they believe not on me. You see it? So, if sin is the damnation of every sinner, And he won't change his mind about sin until he comes to Jesus. You see it? You know why folks don't see nothing wrong with sin? I don't see nothing wrong with it. I've heard that thing so many times it almost makes you want to sick. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, just dirty, low-down, ungodly sin, and people say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. You know why I don't see nothing wrong? Because they reject Jesus Christ, because they won't believe on Jesus. I mean, listen, folks, when you believe on Jesus, do you realize what you're accepting? The fact that Christ, it was your sin and my sin, the reason he came in the world and died on the cross? Jesus said, of sin, because they believe not on me. Why does a man have a consistent life of sin? Why does a man don't see nothing wrong with sin? Jesus just told you why. See? Because when you believe on Christ, you're going to see something wrong with sin. You can't believe on Christ and accept sin and agree with sin and say, you don't see nothing wrong with sin. You know why? Because when you believe on Christ, you got a different heart. See, when you trust Christ, your heart hadn't deceived you anymore. Now your heart deceives you and tells you you don't need that. You don't need that old Bible or that old blood religion. See, you don't need that. If you'll just be sincere and be honest and live the best you can, you'll be okay. Your heart's deceiving you right in the pits of hell. Man told me one time, he said, I believe if you just be sincere about what you believe, and if you believe something, you live it the way you believe it, and I believe you'll be all right. His heart has deceived him. He's a dirty, low-down sinner, and he's going to hell, and won't nothing save him but to believe on Jesus. See? So you know what's happened today? You know what's going on today? The devil has raised up all these religions to tell you there's no hell. The devil raised up all these nice, sweet, educated preachers to tell you God loves you. We love you. Maybe you got a few things in your life that's wrong, but don't worry about it. God loves you. Amen. See? The heart's deceitful. And God can't save a man that won't believe on Jesus. All right, another class that God won't save this morning. And that is, God can't save a religious man. Amen? Religion is one of the most damnable, destructive things that we have this morning. Religion is a person that believes that he can justify his own self by the own doings of his own flesh. You see? A person that has nothing but a religion and believes and trusts nothing but a religion, he'll go to hell because he cannot be saved. You see? Religion is man practicing his own righteousness. Salvation is God giving a sinner his righteousness. Now I've told you before, there's two kinds. There's two kinds of righteousness. There's yours and there's God's. Yours will send you to hell. God's will save you. You die with nothing but yours, you'll go to hell. You die with Christ, you die with God's righteousness, and you'll go to heaven. See? Now I want to show you what religion is. And I want to show you a man that was probably one of the most religious men in the world until he got saved. Somebody one time said, something happened to me. I mashed my finger and I lost my religion. You know, I mean, they cussed like a mad sailor is what they meant. But listen, folks, you didn't lose your religion. You just exercised your religion. See? You lose your religion when you get Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me show you what I'm talking. Take your Bible and turn Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And let's see what Paul said about his religion. Philippians chapter 3. And note with me there. Look at verse 2. Philippians 3, verse 2. The Bible said, beware of dogs. And of course, that's not German shepherds and Dalmatian peaches. That's talking about two-legged dogs. Amen. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcised which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Now look at here. You'll notice three times that Paul said, have no confidence in the flesh. He said that in verse 3. In verse 4 he said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. See? So religion is when a man trusts in his flesh to do something that's right. That's what the Bible says. You see it? Now, when Paul got saved, note that what he said in verse 7. Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things. Paul said he got saved, he suffered loss of all things. I want to show you seven things he lost when he got saved. And all of them have to do with his religion. You see it? Look at verse 5. Circumcised. That means he knew that wasn't no good. If you ever get saved, you won't be worried about whether you get baptized or not in water. Okay? Number 2. He was a Jew, all right? Number 2, he was an Israelite, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. He was a part of the chosen race, okay? He wasn't no bricklayer. He was a Hebrew. He was an Israelite, chosen, the chosen race. You see it? And then not only that, he says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He was from the tribe that produced the first king Israel ever had. You see that? He was not only a Hebrew, he was the Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was up there in the high class. He wasn't a normal common citizen. He was in the high class of Hebrews. And you read over in Acts, well, he was trained under one of the greatest leaders, the greatest Jewish leader of his time, Gamaliel. Paul wasn't no dummy by no means. So he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And not only that, he was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was one of the, in his day, it was the greatest accepted, recognized religion of his day. It would be like today, the Catholic. So I said, I am of the Diocese of the Catholic Church. Amen? Not only was he an accepted, recognized religion, but he was a zealous Pharisee, had a zeal for God. He persecuted hypocrites. To him, it was Christians that believed in the Lord and trusted Jesus Christ. He persecuted that crowd. Now that he was righteous. He was righteous in his own religion. He said, at touching the law, blameless. You couldn't take the law he lived by and find nothing wrong with him. You see it? But you know what he said? He said, when I got saved and met Jesus Christ, I counted all that lost. You know what he meant? He meant he knew it wasn't worth nothing. You see, when a person accepts Jesus Christ as his Savior, You see? When a man finds Jesus Christ and trusts Jesus Christ to save him, he'll dump his hoppy horse religion in the dunghill where the rest of all the stuff goes. Amen? That's what Paul is saying. So a man that only has a religion and only trusts a religion and will take his religion over anything else can't be saved. Did you ever talk to anybody, try to talk to anybody? I have many times. And the first thing they'll say, preacher, I'm not a Baptist. You know what I mean? You know what they're saying? They're saying they got a religion they go by. And listen, folks, let me tell you something. Don't you never go out here and try to convert nobody to just be a Baptist. You listen? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. You get them saved. If they get saved and believe the Bible and follow the Bible, they'll be an independent Baptist. There won't be nothing else, because you can't be nothing else and be biblical. The independent Baptists are nearer the Bible. I didn't say they're perfect. I said they're nearer the Bible than anything else. A lot of folks won't like that, but it don't make no difference to me. But don't you try to convert nobody to a Baptist. You can go to hell just as good a Baptist as you can a Methodist or anything else. As a matter of fact, if all you trust in the Baptist, you'll go to hell. Christ didn't come in the world to save Baptists. He come in the world to save sinners. Amen. And if you come to God, if I stood before God and said, God, look, I'm a Baptist. Or I'm a Presbyterian. Or a Holy Roller, it don't mean nothing. When I got saved, I was a sinner. Amen. And you get saved, that's what you get saved at. You say, well, my religion. Well, if that's all you got, you'll go to hell. If all you want is your religion, all you're going to trust your religion, all you're going to believe is your religion, you can't be saved. All right. Now, I've told you thus far that God can't save a self-righteous man. God can't save a person that rejects Jesus Christ. God can't save a hypocrite. And God can't save an apostate. And God can't save a man that won't believe. And God can't save a religious man. Now, one more class, there's probably some more. I think I could get up two or three more. But I just put these together. There's another kind of man that God can't save. Now, you listen to me. That is a dead man. Amen? That means that when they tell you that somebody, they went to a Catholic funeral one time, they said the Catholic priest told them people, the family said, I got him in purgatory for a few more dollars, I'd pray him through. He's a dirty, low-down, sneaking, swindling, snake-in-the-grass liar. Amen? Let me tell you something, folks. After you die, if you die unsaved, death ends all opportunity to be saved. Amen? If you die and go to hell, in hell there'll be no Christians giving out tracts. Amen? In hell there'll be no church for you to neglect. I talked to somebody here in this town yesterday. I asked him, I said, would you come to church in the morning? They said, I won't promise you. Well, I knew they wasn't coming. Well, they taught, they ain't coming. They have no intention of coming. See? When they get to hell, listen, folks, don't you know this morning that as many people in this town that refuse to listen to the Word of God, refuse Christ as Savior, in hell, they'd give anything they could ever get if they could just get back one Sunday morning and get in one church and hear the gospel and know how to be saved. But it's over. It's over. The greatest message the devil ever preaches is to tell you, you that Bible's right, you're a sinner, you need to get saved, but what's your hurry? You'll say, you're right. I've said 1,000 times, the road to hell is going to be paved with good intentions. There are going to be many people burning in the fires of hell that heard the gospel and intended one day to get saved. But in hell, there'll be no church for you to neglect. There'll be no Bible for you to disbelieve. There'll be no evangelistic preaching for you to avoid. There'll be no more gospel invitation for you to refuse. At death, it'll end. It's over. I don't care. They might tell you, well, you know, when you die, you go to a certain place, and you know, some say, well, now what happens when you die? God takes all your good right here, and He puts it on this side, and He takes all your bad and puts it over here. And if your good outweighs your bad, you're okay. But if your bad outweighs your good, you're in trouble. There's two things wrong with that. Number one is, if you're without Christ, you got no goodness to weigh. The Bible said there's none good. See? The second thing wrong with that is, that ain't the way it's going to be. God ain't going to weigh nothing to decide where you go. God's going to look at the condition your heart is, and if you die without believing in Jesus and trusting Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. It's that simple. And you're going to burn forever, and you won't never have another chance to be saved or have a chance to be saved. Like I said, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. But let me tell you something, folks. The pavement runs out when you die. That's the end of the road. Here's a man going down the road of life, and he goes and goes and goes and goes, and he hears and he listens and he rejects, he refuses, he won't believe, and one day he'll die. It's over. The opportunity's over. There's no more chance. You've had it. You're finished. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you know, after death, you know, you get another chance. That's a lie of the devil. That's a lie straight out of hell. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Proverbs 29, verse 1, let me read it. I better read that verse because I might misquote it. Proverbs 29, 1, the Bible says, "He that often being reproved hardeneth his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Huh? "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck," what does it say? "Shall suddenly be destroyed and get another chance." No, it don't say that, does it? It says without remedy. When you die, it's over. Look at John chapter 8. John 8. Look at verse 21. John 8, verse 21. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." You know what Jesus said? He said, if you die in your sins, you can't go where He is. Huh? And if you die without being saved, you'll die in your sins. If you die in your sins, your next stop is the fires of hell. And you'll be there, and you'll burn forever, and there won't be a second chance. There won't be another way. There won't be nothing you can do. There won't be nothing your preacher can do, your religion can do, your mama can do, your daddy can do, your children can do. There won't be nothing nobody can do about it. Don't let nobody tell you, well, you know, after your, who is, some religion talks about even getting baptized for people after they die. I believe that's the Mormons. Another devil religion. Huh? Listen, folks, you can die, and you can get every Mormon in the country from Salt Lake City to San Francisco, California, to get baptized every Sunday of the week for you, and you'll still be in hell forever. Amen? At death, the door of mercy will be closed forever. No second chance. As long as you're alive, most of you look alive this morning, the door of God's mercy is wide open. You listen? It's wide open. There's two things going to close that door. Two things. If the rapture of the church took place this morning, everybody that's saved would suddenly disappear. And you could get out and you could pray. You could walk the church aisle. You could believe anything you want to believe. And it wouldn't get you one thing. The only hope you got then, if you missed the rapture, the only hope you got is live on this earth and try to get through the tribulation, which I doubt you'd make it. Then again, if you die, breath leaves this body, and they drop that corpse in the hole in the ground, your chance is gone. It's over. And you know something? Either one of those things could happen that quick. The rapture could take place, the Bible said, in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. The rapture could take place that quick, or you can drop dead quicker than that. So you see, there ain't much chance. I mean, when the Bible says today is today, it's dangerous to put it off to even an hour later, let alone next week or next month. Yeah, that's what people are doing. People are putting it off, putting it off. I told somebody this town, I said, you know what? I says, it's going to be awful when they bring you to church in a black Cadillac and roll a big casket up in front of the church. I don't want to see you come that way. I had a friend of mine down in Miami was supposed to get me a casket. And he said he got it, but I never got it. Anyway, I was going to put it out that side of the highway Sunday morning. I told people I terrified them. Oh, you wouldn't do that, would you? I said, yeah, I would. If I get the casket, I'm going to do it. But I was thinking about putting that casket outside the highway and putting a big sign by it saying, don't wait to come to church in this. You think I wouldn't do it? But that's how a lot of them are going to come. That's what it's going to take to get a lot of them to a church, see? Now, a lot of folks like to go to church, you know, where the preacher's sweet and nice and never talks like this. See, one lady told me, she said, I never let my kids come back to your church because you scare them. I said, that's what I'm trying. I'm trying to scare them out of hell. Amen. Like one fella says, it'd be better to be in heaven hell scared than be in hell head scorched. Hell scorched. Amen. I can't imagine a parent not caring if their children go to hell. Wouldn't let my children come to your church because you preach hell. You scare them. I mean, a mom or dad like that's got to be about two-thirds crazy. If I saw one of my kids in a burning building, I'd go get them out. But listen, folks, a burning building would be like striking a match compared to what hell's going to be like. In Revelations, John said, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the heavens and the earth fled away, never found no place for him. And he said, and the dead, small and great, stood before God. And the books were open, and the book of life. And John said, and I saw the dead were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Their reason and their excuses were all in the book. Lord, you know, I just Sunday's my only day to sleep, and I just can't get there on Sunday morning. And then John said, and I looked up, and the one that sat on that white throne said this, whosoever...